Today's Tuesday, October 31st. It's Halloween.
It's Halloween.
This is unedited. Chris is here. This is nuts.
The spooky part about this is that the editor has escaped his enclosure. And so we can't edit this episode. So if we screw up, you just have to sit through it.
There might be some light editing because we've also got the boiler snake to contend with.
Oh, yeah. He just started up.
If it sounds like a clanging noise. Oh,
there it is.
On cue. He's been summoned. That's the boiler snake. So.
I can sense him coming after years of working with the machinery. There you go.
It's about 32 degrees outside, but it's nice and toasty in here because of that horrible clanging noise.
So we've got the ghost of Halloween past here to the left of us, and no editing, and Chris is here, so...
It's going to be a weird episode.
It's a roller coaster.
First off, our first story is Jeff Bezos looks like a supervillain, but it's also been a year of level one, so yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the first story is going to be. A year of the level one news, anyway. I think we've been doing this a little bit longer, but hey, organizing, that's good, right?
October 31st, I think, is exactly the day that we started. Like, we got control of the forums and started the Patreon, and it started.
This is number 53, so yes. This is the beginning of season two. Even though it's not really a season, because we did it all year, and it doesn't stop.
Doesn't ever stop.
But we still call it season
two. We'll call it a season. We're going to redo the set. It's going to be great.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah, we were hoping it's like, oh, well, let's redo the set for... No, it's still a Halloween set behind us, but we've tweaked our lighting. We tweaked our audio setup a little bit. We tweaked a little bit of everything.
I did some sketches for the set, and I might have stained our table with a marker. We're going to clean that later.
It's blue.
It's very blue. And we spread it out all over
the desk. It'll come out. It'll be fine.
I just don't.
Anyway,
that's not why you're here.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos. Yeah. So old pictures of Jeff Bezos, he totally does not look like this.
Yes, he looks like a weak little mewling kitten in his earlier photos, and now he somehow transformed himself into...
He looks like I thought he was wearing a jetpack for a split second, like he was going to just blast off into the sky.
Well, I'm sure he could afford one, because he's now the richest man in the world.
He carried a bottle of champagne to the top of a wind turbine in order to christen it like a ship. And like, if I were the engineer that designed this wind turbine, I'd be very upset. It's like, I don't want small pieces of glass inside my wind turbine.
Let's be real, though. He didn't carry it up. He had his servant.
I have a feeling he's the kind of guy who, like, he wants to impress everybody around him. So they were like, hey, Jeff, let's just winch this up to you. And he's like, no, I'm going to carry it in my teeth.
Yeah. I mean, this is what $90 billion looks like, I guess. That's cool.
That's a lot of human growth hormone.
It's also a lot of anti-aging, like the blood of children or whatever he's doing to stay young. I mean, I don't know. We've got a story about that later. That should be a little bit more interesting.
It's bone marrow.
As long as he keeps those packages arriving 2 days with no shipping costs, I'm fine with it.
Except half the time that doesn't work, so.
If you do anything with anything on YouTube, you've probably heard the people that have to make content on YouTube for a living, bless their hearts, talking about the adpocalypse. And so YouTube is trying to appease advertisers with would you guys say it's a fairly ill-conceived piece of AI that tries to figure out if a video is monetizer-friendly or not?
They did it over 3 months, and they were like, no, this one's totally going to be great. We started this back in August, we're releasing it this month, and I don't think it's going to help that much. But
it's a scorched earth policy, right? I mean, this is the equivalent of the American campaign in Vietnam. It's like, oh, is there a slight possibility there might be some VC in this village? Let's napalm it. So that's a good way to describe it,
actually.
They claim they're going to dial that back a little bit. Like, maybe they're going to require a little bit of visual evidence, maybe, but...
I think it's just going to flag everything.
You don't get it. They're never going to tell you what the algorithm is, so yeah. We can't really call them on it. But they claim it's going to be 25% less.
It turns out that people that stream a lot of video games, not just stream, but also create videos on video games, like benchmarking, are especially hard hit because the AI doesn't really understand the difference between basically photorealistic games like Battlefield and actual war images, which, you know, sponsors probably actually wouldn't want to sponsor. So a little bit problematic.
What if it's like an educational video, though?
Yeah, we would never want our viewers to associate our product with real things going on in the world of importance.
Well, it's funny, though, because there are some really amazing YouTube channels for like World War II history, World War I, and World War II history. And they're just done. I mean, they're not getting their monetizing back pretty much, even though it's, you know, Discovery Channel level videography and historically accurate film, which is really unfortunate.
And plus, there's nothing new there. we've seen all that footage before. There's no new World War II footage coming out.
You don't know that.
It's well, where's it going to come from?
It's brand CG. New, filmed yesterday.
You'd be surprised what they could do with CG these days. Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe that footage could be whitelisted. All those old newsreels and stuff like that, feed that to the algorithm and be like, no, this is known okay footage.
Well, until someone uses that in their Nazi propaganda video. That's true. And then there's no, like, it just has to be hand curated, I think. Like,
I think they've just simply, it's obvious at this point. They're like, no, the advertiser gets what they want. We don't care how dramatic it is, how drastic it is, or who it upsets. This is our business model. We're going to make them happy. And, you know,
YouTube's not really ever made any money, has it, as a video hosting platform?
Oh, yes. It is. It's been wildly, because the whole advertising thing, it has been wildly profitable for
people. I mean, they wouldn't be paying money out if they weren't making money.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think they'd made that much back
then. That's profit sharing. They're not dipping into their pockets to give people money.
Yeah. And that's like 30%. And you got to think about the other channels, like the really large channels, like the Casey Neistats of the world. You know, YouTube is basically brokering deal. Like Samsung is like, we're going to work this out. And the execs at Google are like, yes, we can help you with that. Yes. Speaking of backroom deals with sinister characters, let's talk about Comcast and Fort Collins in Colorado. So this is a sort of an ongoing story. It's just another fun example of terrible things companies are doing, trying to do to take over broadband control and stuff. This is really insidious.
This is so far $200,000. They're funneling it through smaller groups. They're not giving it directly to the politicians, but they have these little, like, how would you describe these things? Like corporate created, quote unquote, activist groups who don't want that pesky community broadband municipal to ever happen. And so Comcast alone has put $200,000 in two of these two groups to fight municipal broadband because it's terrible.
But did you watch the actual advertisements that they've put out?
No, I didn't. It's really bad.
Oh my gosh, it's wonderful. It's hilarious.
Whoever came up with those ads, like, it's just, it's hideously evil. It's one step, like, I just, why would you, how can you work on that and sleep?
It's people driving around the town being like, man, the traffic's really slow. This town sucks. I can't believe people want to spend money on improving the internet. What a stupid thing to spend money on, right?
Oh, they're saying that, like, the money could be going to better things?
Yes.
Is that the...
Yeah, like, the whole ad is that.
Crying orphans.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that makes Fort Collins' situation interesting is that Colorado already has a state law that would prevent cities from doing this. But the state law that supersedes that in Colorado is that local cities can opt out of the state law. So local cities can, voters can say, hey, we don't think that this state law works well with our city. We're going to opt out because the commercial system has failed or whatever. And by, according to the citizenry of Fort Collins, you know, the commercial options have failed. And as a result of that failure to deliver broadband, they're wanting to do something else, in this case, municipal broadband.
Well, they're not even like saying they necessarily want to. They're just like, let's explore this and talk about it. And Comcast is like, no.
Yeah.
No discussion.
The referendum was for, maybe we should look into this. Let's see what this would cost.
Yeah.
And Comcast just immediately put its boot on their neck.
Yes.
And started running ads.
Other cities in Colorado have already opted out, and it has not gone well for Comcast business interests in that case. So we're talking about a population of just over 100,000 in Fort Collins. So
that's worth $200,000 at least.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to tell you something about the profitability of broadband. This is something to keep an eye on, but It is astonishing to me that this kind of thing can happen so transparently. It's like, this is very obviously against the public interest. Broadband is basically a public utility at this point. How can this happen?
It's almost like the politicians are in their pockets.
I just don't even.
I can't believe such a thing would happen.
We're always talking about self-driving cars, but we very rarely mention that self-driving cars have got real problems with the rain and snow. So what better thing to do than send self-driving cars to Michigan, where the roads and driving conditions are awful, especially in winter, and see how they do.
Specifically Detroit, where not just rain and snow, but maybe not the level of maintenance that you would want.
That's true of anywhere in Michigan, though. Like, I've driven in Michigan, and it's just full of potholes.
Yeah.
Well, no matter where you are, even on interstates.
But Detroit definitely doesn't have any extra money for sure. To be. Now, I remember California had the permits, right? I think Nevada did one, maybe Arizona. So it really has been super nice weather everywhere they test them so far.
I'm thinking in my head, you know, it's like, oh, this sounds really good. But in the back of my mind, it's getting the idea of doing like the Thunderdome of like self-driving AI cars, where you just lock a bunch of self-driving AI and, you know, whichever car emerges the victor, then you just iterate that about 10 million times and see how that goes.
So it seems very cost inefficient.
So the cars can learn to kill? Is that what you're
Yeah, well, learn to drive really well.
You're talking about like the Hunger Games.
And or kill.
Was it Google that had the fake city where you could simulate these conditions for a couple of blocks every time? So I guess they've graduated from that and they're ready for the real thing.
No, it's not. They're not ready.
Is Detroit really the real thing?
I mean, it's just... Well, I mean, you
I
know,
mean, it's real, but maybe not.
I mean, it's that whole, if you make it there, you can make it anywhere, right?
If the car runs off the road and into an abandoned building, would anybody really notice?
Kill a couple hobos, would anyone really notice? I mean,
just cut them a check. It's almost like being employed. It's terrible. McAfee says it's no longer going to permit government source code reviews. Now, this is a really interesting contrast to the situation that's going on with Kaspersky, because Kaspersky was saying, oh, yeah, no, we totally... But McAfee's saying, no, the risk to our software being co-opted by governments is too great because somebody might see something in our source code and exploit that, and then all of a sudden we're a part of the state spying apparatus and we don't know.
But which one admitted they did let Russia look at their source code like a year ago? Was it McAfee?
I don't think it was McAfee. It was Norton.
Yeah, Norton. So McAfee is saying... I think Norton caught some flack for that.
Yeah,
and so McAfee's like, we're not doing that. And in the past, what they've done is they have like a third party, supposedly neutral contractor who's like, okay, we will review this on behalf of the Russian government to get, you know, so they don't look at it directly. They're saying not even that.
Yeah.
I mean, neutral, quote unquote. So
exactly.
Equifax, another follow up for Equifax. We predicted this. And it was so. A security researcher alerted Equifax well before the hack, and it's raising the question that maybe Equifax was hacked multiple times, and only the most recent hack is the one that they're actually talking about.
I think the hack itself was definitely a database dump or something like that. It was all in one. This guy claims he found web pages where he could just go in and type in names or partial names or whatever.
Oh, and find their stuff.
And over the web, they would give him the full record with no authentication.
Whoa.
I believe it was SQL injection in the login form. And it's like, wow, did you just copy paste from Stack Overflow or what?
So,
jeez.
That it was a year before, I think they knew for a year. So they went for a year, then they got hacked, and then it was another, 6 weeks before they told anybody?
Yeah.
So basically a year and 6 weeks of willful ignoring the black. There was a fire and they just wouldn't look at it. Like, no,
we don't believe this is a thing.
Yeah.
I also like how the researcher that was responsible for this was like, don't mention my name. I don't want to be raided because that's a thing.
Right. Because he
murdered the messenger with extreme prejudice.
He did technically violate a law by SQL injecting that web form. So you can't even warn people.
Microsoft has dropped its lawsuit after the U.S. government has revised its data request. Now, we've covered this a bunch in the past. Basically, Microsoft got an order that was like, hey, we need everything on this customer, and you need to not talk about it ever. And Microsoft had problems with that. This story doesn't seem to me to be a good thing because it's basically the DOJ saying, okay, well, at some point you can tell your customer, just not never. And Microsoft has basically said, okay, that sounds good to us.
Well, also, you can't collect information forever. You have to tell them when you're going to start and when they're going to stop ratting out on their users. And Microsoft is like, that's good enough. Let's save our legal dollars.
I think the explanation for why that is a bad thing comes from our next story, because it's like, so, okay, well, what's the level of standard for requesting this information? It's got to be like super terrorists that we've detected from our amazing intelligence network and all this other kind of stuff, right?
No. It's just going to be average person.
They're definitely, you would have to protect against individual agents having some sort of vendetta against just people who embarrass them publicly, right? I mean, you definitely want that safeguard.
Are you telling me that there's not already a mechanism in place to prevent that? Is that what you're saying? Well, I would need some evidence for that being the case. Oh, and it looks like TechDirt is going to give us that evidence. Look at this. This is a very long read, but if you only read one thing this week, you should read this because it is amazing. It is amazing on so many levels.
It is so funny because it's literally like one tweet with a smiley face.
Have you ever accidentally sent the wrong Word document, the one that contains comments and like your own internal thoughts and notes and stuff? Well, that's in here, but that's not even the story. That's a really funny part of the story, but that's not even the whole story.
This starts with basically one agent doing really stupid things. And some, I don't know, would you even call these people security researchers? I mean, some of them are, but it's just people who see the obvious and have the balls to comment on it on Twitter. And they made this guy mad. And then there's this giant web of revenge and deception and all under the color of authority. And it ends up with people getting subpoenas for smiley facing.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to read this and understand it. But one of the people that was involved in this is Pope Hat, which is Ken White. He is a former U.S. assistant attorney. Like, was part of the mechanism, and he has a really interesting blog called Pope Hat. And back when the whole Prenda thing was happening, we covered that a lot. And that's a story for another time. But it's a really great blog, straight up guy, and literally a reply on Twitter is all that was required to have the DOJ issue a subpoena. This is, I mean, as a citizen, this seems like everybody that's involved in this should just be fired, like, immediately. There's no recovering from this. There's no paid vacation. There's no, like, at all levels here. The agent involved and whoever signed off on the subpoena and anybody else that was even vaguely aware of this, because it's such a blatant abuse of authority.
The good news is Twitter actually is fighting this. I mean, it's so ridiculously obvious that this is just vengeful and it's not useful and these people aren't dangerous, that even Twitter is like, you know what, we're gonna have to stand up to you on this one. We can't give you exactly what you want whenever you want it.
It's so vengeful and harassment that the comments in the unredacted Word document that I mentioned before basically state as much. And so they accidentally submitted that version of the Word document to the online legal filing thing.
And the funny thing about it is the complaint here is that it was like harassment and these people were somehow hurting them. This actually, you know what this is? This is like the millennial SJW version of the FBI. It's like, by not respecting...
This guy's only like 20 years old.
Yeah, by not respecting my rights, you're causing literal harm.
He goes home and has anxiety attacks at night and cries into his pillow.
Well, he has anxiety attacks that can only be rectified by harassing security researchers or...
That's what I do when I get anxious.
It's like, so, oh yeah, I've got all your computers. Who's laughing now? And it's like, come on, really? Come on.
You think
come
he calls them Nazis in his private... you know, discussions with his loved ones.
It would be all fun and games, except taxpayers have to pay for that. And then all of a sudden, it's a lot less fun.
And taxpayers have to, like, people who don't have this sort of notoriety and they can't make this a public thing are probably getting railroaded by this guy constantly. He's some kind of cyber, like, high-ranking guy whenever it comes to cyber crime and stuff like that.
Apparently not real good at his job, because there are other much more important things to worry about than things like that, but I digress. The FCC is back in the news this week, not over anything that we've discussed before, but they're actually loosening the rules around TV and newspaper ownership, which is going to allow further consolidation. Now, the reason we mention this is because they say that it is necessary for big business to do this in order to compete with Google and Facebook, because the broadcast industry has a lower market cap than the revenues that Google alone earned in ads last year.
The idea here, the reason you can't do this kind of thing, which makes a lot of sense, is if you can't have only one voice. So, like, let's say, you know, you run NBC and then they bought CBS and then that's Comcast and then you buy the New York Times and you
so
can,
kind of how it actually exists.
Yeah,
is what you're
you
saying.
Can basically shape the narrative and no one can argue with you because no one else has a voice. That's what this is supposed to protect. But Pi says, that's antiquated, doesn't matter anymore. Facebook and Google, they get to have the only voice, which I don't see how that really is an argument. And so these other companies must be allowed to compete.
Is it the message that Google has is, I don't know. It's just...
It's that he wants more. They want to mega merge into like one monolithic media company so that it can continue to fight the internet, which is should kill it. It's better. You know, it's doesn't have any of the problems. It's better in every way, and yes, it's an antiquated industry, and you should let it die.
The other thing that's related to this is that the rule that required stations to have a main studio in the local coverage area is gone, because at one point somebody thought it was a good idea that your local news about local interests should come from a local source. That is no longer the case.
That's actually really sad.
And I think already most of the local news readers just get like AP and Reuters stories and read them. But at least you had a face that you could, you had a weatherman you could blame. Well, no, because they had the
you know, national stories, but they also had the local ones. And personally, I was always more interested in the local stories anyway, but it's sad to know that you probably won't get as many of those now.
You know, what's funny is
any of them.
But you know where you will get those stories is on Facebook.
Yeah.
So like they're cutting their own throat as they fight with the other hand. It's hilarious.
So the tech companies are catching on that this is how the game is played as far as government and lobbying and things like that go. These companies have spent more or are planning to spend more on lobbying and things like that for the upcoming year. There's some summaries and stuff in here about the spending in 2016, which is really super disturbing. But lobbying really gets things done.
That's usually like, what, $2 to $4 million for each company?
Yeah.
I think like that. And that's like per quarter.
Yeah. But that was up from last year is the big deal. Sometimes double from last year. So, yeah, as Comcast is throwing $200,000 at these little local races, the big Facebook, Google, Oracle was in there.
Yeah.
Oracle doesn't want the government to stop using Oracle. It's like, oh, you know, we could use open source databases and save a ton of money. It's like, this duffel bag full of cash says otherwise.
This duffel bag full of cash says that there are just unknown risks with running open source. It's just not there if you're running Oracle. I mean, so it's Oracle.
It's sad that, like, I don't know. Maybe it's cause and effect. Is it because the existing media companies fight so dirty with political money that the tech companies have to get in there? Or was that just going to happen anyway as soon as they...
It probably would have just happened anyway.
I don't know. Is this level of spending what's required to convince an otherwise... you know, a politician that otherwise doesn't know anything about technology? Is this what convinces them that a thing is right or wrong? Because I've definitely seen some politicians that appear to be brainwashed by, you know, half-truths from the like, they really honestly seem like they weren't trying to be malicious. They actually believed the terrible things that the lobbyists had told them.
I think you're being gullible here.
Yeah, because they're in on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible.
They probably don't understand it, but somewhere on their staff.
Somebody
understands it. And they could have that explained to them in real world terms. And maybe that's the guy you pay off. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
But,
hey, Chuck, can you explain this newfangled bits and bytes thing to me? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That sounds good. The eyes glaze over.
It gives them that like pre-prepared brochure. By, you know, it's like all the little trademark logos and everything. It's like, oh, was this printed by Facebook?
Don't worry about it. Just read it out.
Now, we covered the NotPetya malware, ransomware. A couple of weeks ago when it was happening. And so this is some interesting fallout from that. Merck, is that how you pronounce that?
Yep.
I think so, yes.
They lost $135 million, or at least they're saying that their bottom line was affected, $135 million. And they were short on a vaccine that they needed. So they had to go to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and get some of the national stockpile in order to fill their commercial orders because of the malware.
Yeah, it's easy to think of that in terms of, you know, they throw up these big numbers and those are probably inflated, right? I mean,
yeah,
your quarterly numbers are coming out and it's like, well, we lost a lot of money and it's because of the ransomware.
We would have beat our projections.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that one thing.
But when
this is the time.
When they stop making the vaccines, that's like, oh, wow, that really does affect your life, doesn't it? That's something that we can all understand. This is bad.
It was Gardasil, it's an HPV vaccine, so it's not like measles vaccine level of importance, but it's still fairly important.
But isn't that the one that like 40% of the country has?
Yeah.
It's a fairly common thing. They give it to you to prevent cancer, mainly.
Oh, that doesn't.
Well, okay. It doesn't. It's not even all types of cancer.
You're really turning down the alarm here.
Yeah.
Oh, just cancer.
But it's like one rare form of cancer, and it's like I said, very rare. I didn't make the best argument there. Whatever.
As you get more practice on the news, it'll come in time.
Yeah.
There's another infection going around, and it's not pay you.
It's not cancer.
It's not cancer.
Is that a double negative? Does that mean it is Petya?
Is it? I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. So this is targeting Russia, but the really interesting thing about this malware is that it's based on the same code base, apparently, as NotPetya, and it has a lot of the bugs fixed that were present in NotPetya. But this is currently wreaking havoc in Russia and Bulgaria and Ukraine and Turkey and Japan. As well. Yeah. So this is really interesting that Merck, I mean, that's kind of an American interest, but if the code base is the same, I think that completely changes the context of the story.
Well, I think in the Merck story, though, they talked about a lot of places actually had to look at how bad their security situation was. And they were like, okay, all right, we have to take this more seriously. We have to do X, Y, and Z because this is really bad. And maybe those American companies are now, if this is the same thing, they're just simply more hardened against it.
I don't believe that. I don't know. There's forces at work here. I think that the exposure is going to come in the forensic analysis in weeks to come. I think this is going to turn out to be a much more interesting story than it is right now, other than just, you know, malware and the foreign interests and things like that. New York Times has done something really surprising. They rolled out their service on tour, and apparently there's no paywall if you're on tour.
I was sitting here trying to figure out desperately, like, what do they want? They can't serve ads. What are they looking for?
You can run ads on tour. I don't know if they do that because tour is usually really slow. They might cut it out. I think it's purely for propaganda, right? You want the people behind the Chinese firewall and the people of Syria and whatever to see your New York Times narrative. You want them to be worried about Russia just like everybody else, right? Blame Russia for everything.
Well, you can see how they could run different stories on it in theory.
Does that really move the public interest that much? I mean,
I think the New York Times is like a lot of people still believe that that's the gospel. If they say it, it must be true. Yeah. I mean, you know, I probably not a lot of our audience, hopefully.
Yeah. I was going to say, I kind of take most news sites with a grain of salt, but
I think we ought to build a site for like the old school Pulitzer Prize winning, you know, like the journalists, like the hardcore journalists. They have not disappeared. They're still out there, and I would trust those guys more than the corporate interests of the organizations that they work for or don't work for, as is the case for most of them.
Yeah, but see, I think they cut their teeth in all those same organizations, and they are some of the worst ones that believe the hype.
It's really terrible.
And they hate bloggers. Yes. Boy, do they hate bloggers. So you're talking about turning them into the thing that they hate.
They also hate people on the internet making random videos and just, you know, it's like, you guys haven't earned this. You guys can't talk about this. And that's like, I mean, I kind of believe that.
There's been that whole push where it's like a lot of that fake news stuff, they want people to start actually being credentialed as reporters and journalists before they can say anything to tell you what the news is. And I think that those are the very people who would support that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I can see why. I don't necessarily agree, but I can see why they would want that. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like I've been to Nam in a helicopter and I've seen some stuff, and that means that you should, you know, trust me or whatever. It's like, well, it turns out you just need to put that pedigree online.
You're being optimistic, though. You're assuming that people who would graduate from those programs and stuff would actually be qualified and not someone who just happens to have a lot of money.
And was it Brian Williams who said he got his helicopter shot down and that was just crap?
he had
been there, but like, you know, to the visitor center.
We heard a knock and we just assumed it was a bullet.
The gas station. He went and got some Snickers bars.
Facebook is this executive. This really, I love this because he's like, it's just not true that we listen into your phone's microphone. And this executive was like super exasperated, but the more quotes that we got from the executive, the more it seemed like he didn't really understand how the technology works.
Well, he just tweeted this as well. It wasn't like an official statement. It's just him tweeting.
Well, but they've definitely made the statement in the past. And I think I saw a lot of the big, like we talked about, you know, like the big papers and the big websites running the story. It's like, gosh, you people just got to get it in your head. They're not listening to your microphone. It's like, well, how would you know? It's just, they're just saying this. It's their word against. And of course, the empirical evidence is somebody's like, hey, I was talking about getting a boat to my friend, and suddenly on Facebook, there are boat ads. I didn't Google boats. I didn't make a post about boats. Why is this the case? So
how can both things be telling the truth? Well, I'll give you an example. They're not streaming the microphone audio in real time back to Facebook, but they do have a little program running looking for certain keywords on your phone. And so it's just sort of tagging the words that you say. and then that is being uploaded to Facebook. So I mean, this may be a different thing.
That's listening.
That's still listening.
Yeah, that's.
But we're wherever we are in society is already to a point where the words that you say are different than the words that I say, and we have like our entire justice organization that is like, no, our interpretation of what this says is this, which is totally not what the people that wrote the law meant. But because it says those words, we really need it to mean this thing. This is the direction that we're going to go in. And that is pervasive in everything. I think this is what happened to the Roman Empire right before it collapsed.
Now, the crazy thing about it is, if you read that article, that's not the, they don't even admit that much. What they're saying is, it's this, I've noticed this before, like when you don't know the definition of a word, you never see it. And then you learn it and you're like, oh, I know that word now.
You see it everywhere.
So that's what they're blaming this on. They're like, no. You just, the boat ads have always been there. You just weren't noticing them. But now the boat ads are in your head. So now you're seeing them, man. We're not listening to anything.
But why would be targeting boat ads to someone who wasn't interested?
Well, you have to ask the Facebook people, the Facebook psychologists who figured this out.
I wonder what kind of ads I'm going to get when I'm interested in bugs in LG smart devices that let people spy on them.
Smooth segue.
Yeah, I mean, this is a vacuum. Like, this is an LG smart vacuum. But this bug was in LG smart fridges and LG, like, smart everything that LG has ever made. And it basically would let attackers take over the device and do all sorts of really crazy things. This vacuum has a camera. Yeah.
Why?
It has a camera. This is a picture of the vacuum, the camera.
Look at the dog. There's a little dog looking down at it.
I think it's so you can monitor it while it's remote. You're at work and you're just watching your vacuum for whatever reason. Now, the worst one wasn't the vacuum with the camera, though. The worst one was the stove. You could literally, because of the bug in this app, and this...
You turn it on?
Yeah. Oh, you can max it out. You could turn it to like the self-clean mode and just leave it on. And you could do that. Now, they have patched it. And I think you have to like compile your own version of the older app to still get this to work. But for a while there was a bug that would let you control
what if you left
every
a pizza
device.
Box on the oven? That could be catastrophic.
I don't know if you could turn the ranges on.
I know people that live in apartments in the city and they totally keep their pots and stuff when they're not using them in the stove.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is burn your house. Like, I don't like
this
you
This is
anymore.
Like a dark like, silence
could,
falls on us as we
all
think about
burn
it.
Burn someone's house down and watch it with the vacuum while it was happening.
And like you want to get a better shot of the as the fire as it moves, so you just move the vacuum.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's going to be videos of that posted on, like, 4chan where it's like, hey, check it out, guys. I burned down this guy's house, and it's just like the vacuum.
Picture it didn't happen.
Dubs decides what temperature I set on the stove.
Oh, Lord. Speaking of things that have horrible vulnerabilities that shouldn't, maritime communication systems, which is what ships use to keep from hitting other ships and to know where things are, to which to go in and out of port, all that's done by computer now, and it turns out that it's really buggy.
This is also where you keep all of your, the records about the people serving on your ship, and I think even like manifest and stuff like that. Now, it's a little bit overblown here because you do have to be like you have to have some kind of physical access or they have to otherwise have left the security wide open for you to get to this.
You mean like an SQL injection in a login form?
But you have to be like standing there apparently unless they have that otherwise that PC opened up otherwise. But I wouldn't be too crazy if like, you know, some pirates maybe, some Somali pirates got on your ship and SQL injected.
I am the captain now.
It's like, oh, how
select
we
where I'm yeah.
Like, how are we going to get ransom? We don't know who these people are. Well, let's just SQL inject the PC and let's email their families and let them know.
You think Somali pirates have that kind of technology?
They will in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean,
probably in the next 5 years.
I mean, just because, you know, they're living in third world conditions doesn't mean they can't figure this stuff out, especially if there's a monetary reward.
I wonder if this system's related to the shipping manifest system we saw where the pirates could just SQL search through the... And it's like, oh, we've got a ton of SNES classics on this ship. Let's just steal those.
You think those go for a lot in, Nairobi?
Where they don't have, like, consistent electricity.
Something like that would be a great haul if you were going to steal from, because they're easy to unload, they're small, compact, easy to carry. People are not going to ask a lot of questions. It's easy to sell, you know, on a street market or whatever.
Tough to sell on eBay, though, if they're shipping from Africa.
eBay would be a little bit of a challenge. You got an iPhone app that asks for camera permissions? Well, did you know that that application can take video and pictures without you even noticing? It's not really a bug. It's actually a feature.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
I mean, it's not something that's going to get fixed because they want it to be that way. Now, we've talked about in the past, when you do stock trading or bank transactions with your phone, it's taking your picture. If you're doing that on the toilet, it's probably just looking at your face. But
I mean, you know, there's no way to know. It could be looking at your dirty underwear.
Don't point it anywhere weird when you click that send button. And they do that because they don't want you showing up and being like, hey, I didn't make this transaction. And they're like, really? Because this looks like your face. Well, it turns out any app can do that. As long as it's in the foreground and it asks for the camera permission, it can just snap away.
Nice.
It doesn't have to store them locally either.
Yeah.
It can just shuttle them right back to wherever it wants.
Dell messed up big time. They accidentally lost control of a domain name, which, you know, I mean, what are they doing registering a domain name? Like, who was responsible for this?
Was it not auto renewing?
Why? It's just, I mean, how are your processes so messed up that you don't renew a domain name? I mean, this is crazy.
Now, if you buy a Dell computer, hopefully, again, if you're a viewer of this channel, hopefully the first thing you do is format it to get rid of all the bloatware, right? But if for whatever reason you didn't do that, or you bought it for a loved one or whatever, then it automatically has this program installed on it, the backup and restore thing. And the backup and the restore program hits this URL to check for things like updates and should you want to send me some software backup and restore? And it turns out they let the domain expire.
Yeah, it was kind of bad. Why would you do that? They didn't notice that it had expired for some time either. So that was a little bit problematic.
Now this
surely was, someone got an email.
Well, we should mention this once again. This was a contractor. So Dell's like, well, it wasn't us. It was just this horrible contractor, and it's their fault. But
they didn't even have access to the domain control panel in the first place, but it's totally the contractor's fault every time.
So yeah, again, just you should not be trusting these kinds of. Just get rid of that bloatware when you first get your new laptop, always.
Duck crypto attack recovers encryption keys and exposes VPN connections some more. So, yeah, the duck. Oh, it's gonna.
He looks like he's got the 1,000-yard stare. He's like very Duck alarmed. EXE stopped working.
I do not approve of these security incidents that have like cute names and malware, like Heartbleed and stuff like that.
It makes it sound a little trivial.
Well, but it's easier to remember, and it's easier to get the normies to, you know, respect it, I guess.
So this is the only reason we mention this is because it is another story and a pattern where it seems like you've got good encryption and a good plan, and the plan is good. But in this case, they failed to select a random seed number every time. Every time that you start the application, it always had the same seed number. And so it became trivial to actually crack the encryption. I think this is on the Fortinet, which is that's a lot. Fortune 500 uses Fortinet devices a ton. And so I think we'll find out that this was actually probably state sponsored or somebody was deliberately paid off to do this, because this is the 10th or 15th thing that we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years where in theory, it's good. Like, this standard is good, but it was not correctly implemented. And because it was not correctly implemented, the encryption was actually way weaker than it should have been.
And you as a consumer don't necessarily know, are my devices using hard-coded keys? I mean, it's not on the box. It's not a feature. So until somebody figured this out, took one apart and was like, oh, hey, look, hard-coded keys. I bet we could force these if we wanted to. And this one was real simple. We talked about the one last week. You had to spend like $40 on Amazon to hit it. This one's like 4 minutes with one CPU. So this is real easy to exploit if you're still using these products.
Now, if you had control of routes on the internet and you could poison BGP to cause internet traffic to go through arbitrary destinations and record it, you could spy on VPN encrypted traffic. Now, who do we know who has access to be able to do that?
I bet it's three letters.
The TV news hack sees Bitcoin snatched. This is kind of a non-story. This researcher wanted people to be able, like, he was curious, like, he was doing a news story and he's like, hey, I've got this QR code, first person to get it gets the Bitcoins. But the news broadcast blurted out because I guess there were some rules about
can't do giveaways in France on TV.
Yeah, so course, but yeah. It didn't matter that it was blurred out, some people were able to unblur it.
Now, you could argue, I don't know what these guys do for a living, but they probably spent way more than $1,000 worth of man hours to unblur this image and steal this $1,000 worth of Bitcoins. But I think they felt very smug and like they'd accomplished a lot for doing it. It is impressive.
It wasn't just like unblurring it either. Like they figured out a bunch of other things, like all the other possibilities it could be and like all kinds of crazy stuff.
They checked up like a million addresses just to see if that was it before they could find it.
Yeah.
Or not addresses, but like the, you know, the blockchain code for whatever that transaction was.
That's crazy.
EA. We've got a story about EA being a terrible company. So this should surprise no one, right? EA is shutting down fan servers for older Battlefield games. So
rip in peace.
These are games that the company really no longer supports. People still want to keep playing them. It's like, hey, let's have some community-run servers. And EA's like, no, I'm not going to do this.
It was GameSpy. These were the GameSpy server games. That's how old they are. But people still liked them. So this company said, you know what? Let's rebuild them and take GameSpy out of the equation. We'll run the servers. And they had lots of, I think, hundreds of thousands of players on these things. Now, I suspect that EA is working on something where it's like, because they have that...
they're going to sell it to us again?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They have the, cause
remastered.
That's what Nintendo got real serious about their stuff when that virtual console thing got popular. Oh, it's like, oh, we can hit you for another $5 for each of these games and you're getting them for free? No, we will shut that down. And I think EA, because they've got that Origin monthly service thing.
Now, I don't know if it was mentioned in this story, but there was another story about this that I read, and I couldn't believe it. I had to check. Disney apparently is going to let Good Old Games, or Disney has been working with Good Old Games on some of the old Star Wars games.
Battlefield, yeah.
So
the or Battlefront, yeah. The old Battlefront, not the new one. They just keep using the same name. It's that stupid new thing with games. But people loved that game, and the servers were officially down, and they actually did just revive them, and that was like the big deal. That was, I think, in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. So it's Disney.
Goodwill.
Disney on the other side of the coin is EA. What universe is this? This is a parallel universe. Something has obviously gone wrong.
Well, I think maybe that just. It's smart because that Star Wars is like, that's your big, you've spent a lot of money on that. And letting people get back in the, like, the good spirits of Star Wars and play this old game.
Right before the release of the new movies.
Exactly, yeah.
It's clever marketing.
That's 4D chess.
So, Apple's been fighting the good/bad fight on unauthorized repairs. And so they're like, guys, we've got a plan. The iPhone X, as anybody who has seen the keynote press release, we'll call it, or the iPhone X, if you have not seen the press release or any kind of release documentation or whatever from it, $279 for screen repairs from official Apple, whatever. This, the LCD is like $40 in China. Come on.
And
that's crazy.
What's the name of their like insurance thing? Apple Care.
Yeah.
That takes the price down to like $218. It's not even how many screens you got to break to. Now, the back glass on this thing, if you crack that, which I imagine is pretty fragile, it starts at like $500.
And yeah, it's really expensive.
It just goes up from there. So
I just don't even. I saw another story where there was an Apple engineer that was fired for because his daughter streamed a video. It was after the press event, but before general availability of the iPhone X. And he was fired because his daughter was like, oh my God, my dad has an iPhone X. It's amazing. And the engineer thought it was okay because it was after the press event. It was not okay. And this is just your PSA that it's a phone. It's not nuclear launch codes. It's a phone.
And when it breaks, as they tend to do, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
My younger cousins have iPhones. Like, that's what they want. And they break them all the time. Like, that's going to be so expensive to get fixed. I guess it always was.
Why do they have iPhone X? That's
crazy. Yeah. They don't have iPhone X.
But how far behind are they in generations? Like, at Christmas.
One of them has a new one. Like, a fairly new one. Like, was it 6, I think she had?
So, Christmas, that's, what, 8 now?
Did we skip 9? Her mom got it on the Trading Post.
There's going to be a ton of kids.
Eastern Kentucky thing.
At Christmas who are going to get iPhone X.
Oh, yeah. And, like, they're not getting it off the Trading Post.
Yeah. And as soon as they go back to school, they're going to break them.
It's just terrible.
So expensive.
Well, Reddit is in on the we'd like to make money from advertisers too bandwagon. So they conducted a wide range of purge of offensive subreddits, but they didn't really get rid of all that much. I mean, they got rid of a lot, but not really as much as you would think that they would.
I read the thread about this, like, as it was happening, and people were talking about what, like, Reddit subreddits had been purged, and one that hadn't been purged was like how to kill dead hookers, or how to kill hookers, like how to get them into your house. And like, they were like, oh, this totally falls within
the rules. The rule was supposed to be anything that promotes violence. Like that's
that definitely
thing,
promotes violence. Well, like, get an escort.
I'm not arguing.
Them.
I'm not saying that we should keep the kill the hookers subreddit. I'm not taking their position, but I'm saying that a lot of it was like bad imagery. Like one of them was Pretty Dead Girls, which
probably similar to dead hookers.
I'm going to stay away from it, but the morbid curiosity that I have to figure out what that is overwhelming. I'm not going to go.
Now you're going to get a lot of email.
But I'm so curious.
I learned that lesson a long time ago.
You go to places like LiveLeak that you should just not.
I have no desire to see any of this.
Yeah.
Please do not email it to me.
You're telling me that I shouldn't be going to WorldStar?
Switching gears to technology news, finally. PCI SIG has released the PCIe 4.0 spec. So better, faster, stronger, right? Yeah, you'll be able to do an NVMe and two PCI Express lanes instead of four. Because that's a thing. But hey, Threadripper 64 lanes, don't care.
It's 16 gigatransfers per second. And this, the last one was what, 2011?
Yeah.
So this has been a long time, but I don't know like what lit a fire under their asses. They're saying 5 will come in 2019.
Yeah, yeah. It is possible. We have no inside information on this or anything, but it is possible that we see some PC makers actually skip PCI Express 4 and just go straight to 5.
Now, don't get too excited because you're probably not going to see anybody using this until 2019 at the earliest. And for 5, it might be like 2022, 2023.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a real quick adoption, but here it is.
It may show up in servers and specialty gear and things like that first, too. So the other big technology news this week is that AMD has launched Ryzen Mobile with Zen and Vega to take on Intel and powerhouse laptops. Now, we only have the AMD slide deck at this point, but the AMD slide deck does include performance numbers. AMD performance numbers, you got to take with a little bit of a grain of salt if history is any indication. But to be sure, the Ryzen CPU is incredible. It is incredible for power usage. It's incredible for the high end. It's really amazing. And so I think at Computex, I saw a couple laptops that had Ryzen CPUs in them. They were underclocked desktop CPUs. But they performed really, really well, like astonishingly well. So these are purpose-built, cherry-picked mobile, you know, tweaked for mobile CPUs that also have Vega integrated Vega graphics. So Infinity Fabric at work right here. What else should we say? I don't know.
I think you covered it.
Yeah.
2700U and 2500U. You got the Ryzen 5 and the Ryzen 7. I don't know. It's just so exciting.
It's fully released. You can say more about it.
When we tested the Ryzen 7 1800X, we undervolted it, and it performed astonishingly well undervolted. So 15 watts is the target. 7.5 watts is as low as they could go. So I'm really excited about this. Can you tell? So excited. I don't know.
Me and Ryan are equally deeply excited. Ryan's deeply excited about all things all the time.
Ryan's really excited about the Pixel 2 because of the high-pitched whine and clicking noise. Yeah. Pixel 2 and the Pixel 2 XL have sort of been plagued from Google. The Pixel 2 XL has burn-in issues, and the Pixel apparently has clicking and whining issues. So
it's funny because they told some people to send it back, but at least one person they told, just wait for the next update. So clicking and whining from your phone at all times, just screaming out of your pocket while you're sitting on the bus or in a conference room.
Don't worry about
it. We can patch that. Yeah, it's a software thing. It's
just
fine.
Just wait it out.
You're at a funeral. Your phone's just making this horrible sound.
Just clicking.
Are you a Wall Street investment banker that hasn't had a good night's sleep in the last 10 or 15 years? Good news. AI is coming for your job. You can take up something else. That's a little healthier.
Oh, look how happy she looks. She's taking a picture with her replacement.
This robot is not, that's a hospitality robot. That robot, this is stock photography. Yeah, they didn't know what to put.
I was going to say, look how happy this guy looks. He doesn't look professional. He doesn't look like a Wall Street robot.
These aren't the friendly robots that you meet. This is just AI running in, you know, behind the scenes and just destroying your livelihood.
Remember the flash crash of last year? That was the prototype of this AI.
Now this is not the high frequency traders. That's nothing but AI. These are actually the people who like call you up and they're like, "Hey, Mr. Jones, let's look over your portfolio." And some banks have already got this where like, "Hey, don't want to talk to a human being? Just answer the questions from these prompts and the AI will choose investments for you." Yeah.
I think you should invest more in pharmaceutical companies.
But what now, if you are a Wall Street analyst, what other jobs do you think that you're qualified for?
Just working at a bank, maybe. That would be a big step down.
What are you going to be doing at a bank that a robot can't do?
Moving right
handing
along.
Out dum-dums.
Well, maybe you could help Walmart because they're... Oh, no, wait. Shelf scanning robots in Walmart. Yeah, so inventory robots at Walmart? Okay.
Now, okay, so this is... We've seen the scanning robots before and we've talked about them. They just go through the store and they're like, hey, this is out of place. This is mispriced, whatever. And it's really useful and it's great. But here's the question. How long until someone... Because we're talking about Walmart here. Someone at 4 a.m. is drunk and they assault the shelf scanning robot.
Well, people will argue with They'll the price with either way, because even when we would switch prices, like I used to work at a grocery store and Sundays was the day that like all of the prices would get switched. People would come in like Saturday night at midnight or like just after and be like, hi, I want this for the old sale price. I was like, well, we can't do that because it's a new week and like it's already been put in the system. And they would yell at me for that. But now that like even knowing that the robot is there and they see it there doing the price checks, they'll still bring the old tag up and be like, now, no, I want this.
You know what's funny about both these stories that we didn't mention is in the headline. So this is Fox Business or no, that what was the where was the Walmart one from? Engadget. And then what was the other one? The
Quartz.
They go out of their way to be like, now this isn't gonna put people out of their jobs. This is just going to help enhance the jobs that they have. It's going to make them better.
I mean, it might though.
No, it's, yeah. I mean, Walmart is, they can't wait to lay off those people. They'll wait till after Christmas because you can use them during the holiday. But then it's like, hey, you know that job where you go through and you check all the shelves? Yeah, we got a robot.
So what the people that run Walmart are looking at Jeff Bezos on top of a wind turbine with the champagne and they are losing their mind. If they had to like, If you told them like it was in Game of Thrones, it's like you need to burn the little girl alive, they would totally do that.
Well, spoiler.
Yeah, they would put her in like the little the falling price spot thing suit and just light her right up. Now, you know, that might be where we get the whole like AI Skynet war coming from. It won't be the governments.
Yes.
It'll be the retailers where it's like we have to keep escalating. And then those robots figure out, it's like, they've given us so much autonomy, let's just destroy them. Like, and it won't be like, let's destroy humanity. It'll be, let's destroy Amazon. Anybody, it'll be like the mark on the door, the blood of the sheep. But instead, it's an Amazon Prime package.
I think that that is going to be an amazing idea for a screenplay. It's like the warehouse robots get sentient and they break out and they ninja their way into another warehouse and murder all of those robots. That would be a great screenplay.
Well, you know, I'm putting too much thought into it because they already know who the Prime members are. So that's how they know which houses to pass by.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's what he was making. I need to get a Prime account.
Yeah. You need to get a Prime account before.
Before it happens.
Although you don't have any children, so.
I don't know. Well, Saudi Arabia has just granted citizenship to a humanoid robot. This is more of a PR stunt. Don't think that they've got Johnny Five over in Saudi Arabia.
It was
Arabia
a female robot, wasn't it?
Yeah. Can a robot be a female?
They said that this one was.
Don't we let the robot choose its own gender?
No.
I mean, it's 2017.
That's how they did it on Star Trek. That's how we're going to do it.
Well, I mean, they're making a lot of progression in Saudi Arabia. Now women can drive. Women robots can be citizens. Male robots.
They had that... the flying, remember the motorcycle that flew that didn't have any guards on it so it could behead people?
What?
That was last, they got this like space age flying motorcycle that they just unveiled, but there's no guards. It's just open blades, four open blades.
Like spinning. A lawnmower, but.
Yeah, it's like four lawnmowers attached to a motorcycle and it flies. And your feet are like less than a foot away from it.
Looks bad.
So now. When you lose your leg, maybe the robot can come and do like first responder.
I'll fix it for you.
That'll be $59.99.95. Google. So Google has got a problem with its AI. It thinks being gay is bad. And it's like, this is the latest example of how bias creeps into artificial intelligence. But the explanation here is really complicated, but I don't think that the explanation here is really... really all that complicated. It's, because people are awful.
It's super obvious. This thing is so good that it can sort of read the tone of your message as well as the contents of it. And I think we've all been in situations where our, you know, especially as a male, you're online.
You're playing a game.
If, even when you're not playing a game, but especially when you're playing a game, your sexuality might be called into question.
They also might make comments about your mother.
Yeah.
As well.
And of course, here we see, you know, your Jewish heritage might be called into play. I've definitely heard some of that being thrown around.
That's a negative number. That's really bad, right? Why is it negative? Why wait? That's like a half away. That seems like a lot.
So yeah, this isn't all about I mean the AI itself cannot be
straight French, bro.
It can't be biased, but it learns from people who are biased. So obviously it's I'm a sexual dog. Wow, that's really bad.
I know you know, that's something you see a lot in online games. Homosexual dog.
I just it's why is this surprising?
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
Because people, it's learning from people, and people are awful.
And there's lots of awful people on the internet.
Enough said. Sony is building a new robot dog next month. Oh, the Aibo. The Aibo, you guys don't understand. The Aibo, when it happened, was like super insanely popular, and people are obsessed. And there's still a huge Aibo. It has a cult following, the likes of which the world has never known since the Aibo.
It's great. I remember those robotic dogs when I was a kid.
It's great if you don't want to take the risk of getting a homosexual dog.
Or just getting a dog that sits on the carpet. But.
Now, the great thing about, you read this article, it's like, oh, they're bringing it back. And, you know, they talk about how it was, you know, a big cult hit. This one's going to have the ability to control household appliances. Why would a dog?
I don't give that kind of ability to my dog.
Just like good old, you know, Blue. We let him run the stove and the refrigerator and the microwave.
Boil water for himself. Well,
I think this is a good idea because the dog, I mean, how else are you going to protect from hackers? You got to have the robot dog.
So when they use the LG app to turn your stove on.
The dog protects you from
that. The dog turns it back. So he's actively.
Man's best friend.
Now, what about if they get control of the dog, though?
That would never happen. Never.
The dog is sentient. It takes care of itself. Like whatever updates and software patches it needs is fine. It also keeps wanting me to buy stuff.
So the dog knows if you're a Russian hacker. What if you're a Russian hacker and you legitimately want to get one of these dogs for yourself?
What if you're a Russian hacker and the dog rats you out? I don't know how I feel about that.
You think Putin will have one of these at his meeting with Merkel?
Oh, yeah.
Like his little robot
dog? He loves dogs. I'd say he's probably against robot dogs. I'm going to guess.
I don't know if he loves dogs so much as he loves messing with Merkel because he knows that Merkel's scared to death of dogs. And so... just watching the press conference of that, he's just having a field day with her.
He should gift her one of those, right?
I think he did. I think that he actually did
a
that.
Dog. A robot dog?
No, not a robot dog, just like a regular dog to mess
with.
No, but
he should get her a robot dog.
You know, work her up to a real dog.
That's some real KGB stuff right there because, you know, I mean, he would know that they're going to have to grind it into 1,000 pieces looking for bugs and software stuff.
And this video has been flagged by YouTube for demonetization.
Well, India is going to the moon in 2018. To the moon, Alice.
So 1969.
Yeah.
Now, come on, it's 2017. Let's go to Mars.
They're gonna land in something, but I don't think it's gonna be a human, is it? Is it gonna be automated?
No. Yeah. It's a $93 million landing,
which is cheap for, you know, as far as moon landings go.
Yeah. So this is probably gonna be
budget.
Good.
Yeah, which is how you want to do your moon landings, on the smallest budget possible. Although I think NASA always uses the lowest bidder, right?
Yeah.
So we can't really talk too much about that.
SpaceX. We've covered SpaceX a bunch. They've had a lot of successful landings, rocket reuse, things like that. They are planning 19 launches in 2017. This is almost unheard of to do this many launches with reusable rockets and some variations on a theme there. These are commercial payloads or whatever. But between the rocket reuse and the software basically being solid, they're feeling really confident about their platform.
They, I think they're up to like 15 this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 19, not that crazy. And this will be, you know, fingers crossed. Do they have any more launches this year?
That article said 2017. Surely that means 18, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I misread that.
Wait.
Yeah, it says launches in 2017.
Oh, so they're going to do like 4 more.
Yeah.
Incredible. Now, so far, though, this year, nothing has blown up. Yeah. 2016, a couple things blew up.
So, those were bugs. Those were software bugs. They're fixed.
Don't worry about it.
And this article talks about they're actually even getting cheaper insurance. So whoever, what madman insures SpaceX launches is like, you know what? We're going to give you a break. You've done so good.
Lord, we could do a whole video on Lloyd's of London. Lloyd's of London is just the neatest organization. They insure anything. They'll make bets on anything.
They'll insure like body parts.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
It's common for athletes, right?
It's more about like, you know, Kim Kardashian. Like there's literally a model who had her ass insured.
If her monetization wasn't gone.
It's gone now.
I'm trying to think of a title we can use that has something to do with that.
Anti-aging stem cell treatment has proved successful in early human trials. So this is these executives like the Jeff Bezos and the Ray Kurzweils of the world are going to live forever, and this is the technology that's going to let them do it.
And they might already be using this.
Well, probably. It's they say it's good for frailty. So they tested it in people 75 and older, and it was only 15 people. It was a very small sample size, but they did show good results so far. So they're entering phase 3.
But don't you think like if you apply this to somebody who's 40, they're still going to get huge benefits from it?
The people that they took the bone marrow from were ages 20 through 45. So would it give you that much of a benefit if you were taking it from someone your own age?
That's the important thing about it. This thing, it's not like fetal stem cells. Because that was like the big, you know, it's like, oh, we can't do that because it's
we
bad.
We can't eat babies in order to live longer. That's bad.
We have to throw the babies. We have to throw them away. We can't harvest their stem cells. Which I understand how that could lead to. It's like, oh, well, let's just kill the babies to get the stem cells. These come from bone marrow. You have to donate them. You have to have a donor.
An adult donor.
A young donor. And so that's going to be huge for, you know.
Jeff Bezos.
Those 15 old people they tested it on already.
Not Jeff Bezos so much as Jeff Bezos' gardener. And his family.
Nice. I wonder if they're going to discover that certain ethnicities are better than others for that as well.
Because oh, wow.
That would just be...
You can't do that. It's not in 2017, man. That is racist.
Well, it's possible. I guess maybe if you were trying to like get rid of certain diseases.
Imagine if white people are like at the top of that pyramid. Oh, my God. That'll be civil
war. What if it's
for
like, what are you like, I want to be more lactose intolerant. Or tolerant, rather.
And what if they figure out they all really do have like superlatives and you have to pick and choose and you can make a cocktail. Of like I want
different perks like you're playing an RPG.
I want to be better at math. I want to jump higher and
I wouldn't give up lactose tolerance personally. That's a good perk.
Well, but it's like we're creating a Fallout character here. I'd trade it for some stuff.
Nah, string cheese is too good.
Apple. Oh, I love this story. This story is amazing. If you type 1 + 2 + 3 into your iPhone's calculator on iOS 11 too quickly, you won't get 6. And so the problem with this here is that the animation for the button, if you're really quick on entering, the animation takes too long, doesn't register the button press.
Now, but here's the thing
about
this.
Seems like a design problem.
Well, but okay. All right. Let's say you're the calculator interface designer, right? Put yourself in that mind space. Do you think after 48 hours of testing this thing,
you would have ran into that by then?
You would have been entering fairly quickly. It's like, oh, I've been doing nothing but using this stupid calculator.
But my buttons are so beautiful.
Yeah, but oh, we got
it. I didn't get a chance to see the animation, but like, surely you can make that pretty quick.
It's like, it's like a little white flash. It's nothing that...
Nothing important.
Nothing you need.
No. Yeah. Nice to have the feedback, but like, it's not vital.
One, the programming language should allow you to decouple the user interface animations from the data input. That's a feature that has been available in all programming frameworks since about 1983. And two, WTF.
Yeah, that's something that they added because this wasn't a problem in the previous generation, right? So it's like, hey, man, what's your contribution to the new iOS? Like, oh, I got this sweet
animation. I
fucked
up the calculator.
You're not going to believe how good this animation is.
We swear on the news, are we?
No.
It's live.
It's live. Well,
it's kind of live.
I think
it's poorly edited.
We told you it wasn't going to be edited, and then so many things went wrong.
Well, it was the ghost. Yeah. The ghost messed up the light.
Halloween. 42% of Americans under 8 have their own tablet. No, stop this. No, this is a PSA. No,
I know lots of kids
this.
Who do this, but they usually, so it's not like a tablet like what you're thinking. It's like a learning tablet.
No.
Like, do you remember the little computers and stuff kids had when they're like our age? It's like that, but a tablet.
Probably a surprise to no one. As a kid, I was definitely a handful. And I definitely got in trouble a lot for not paying attention and being distracted by literally everything. And I think that things probably would have turned out worse
if you'd had some sort of like learning computer or tablet as a kid.
Yeah, because I don't think that I had the brain structure to organize what I would have been consuming, and so I would have ended up wasting most of my time.
Are you saying that if you had a distraction that was always in your pocket, you would ignore very important things going on around you?
Yes.
That doesn't sound like something Wendell would do. I think limited amount of time with these sort of things. Like, if they're just learning devices, they're not connected to the internet, that's fine. But
why would you?
Unlimited, like, make my kid watch this because I don't want to deal with my kid. I don't think that's good.
But that seems like a waste of money because they're probably going to be different learning devices every 2 years of child development or something like that, right?
Critical thinking at an early age.
You can get
age.
Different, like, inputs for them with different lessons.
I see. I think and as you know, parents who hear this and they're like, oh, you're being ridiculous. Spend time with my child. Are you an idiot? You get them a regular tablet.
Have you been around my kid?
And you monitor what they do. And you know, that's how you control that. But no one will do that.
Critical thinking. More, it's not like there's a huge difference between just raw, mindless information consumption and critical thinking.
You get them the real tablet, right? But you, like, you put it in a maze, or you make them, like, you know, work out, decrypt something to get to it, or you, like, you know, put some sort of software on it where they have to figure out in order to watch their shows and stuff like that. But again, that would require you spending time with your child and actually paying attention.
It might be okay if we get, like, Zork on a tablet, because that would require reading and thinking.
Well, it's the ones, they have educational ones that are meant for young children and not, like, no internet connection, no video, it's just learning games.
I don't know. I looked at some young age math learning games, and the math that they teach now seems like garbage.
Is it Common Core?
Yeah.
No comment. I'm bad at math.
Well, this one's in here to torment me. Star Trek Discovery is returning for a second season. This show is awful. Do not watch it.
Well, maybe it's just because I hear it from you all the time. I heard the show is bad, but
it's bad.
Yeah,
it's real bad.
You're a little bit biased. Now, I've not seen it. I'm not going to make any judgments about it. But it was good enough, and it got enough subscribers to whatever this CBS nonsense is, that they're bringing it back. Now, we did discover last time we did a story about this show, and I put them in there every time it comes up because it's hilarious. But it turns out Netflix has this everywhere else in the world except for, I think, the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
I thought Canada kept it. I might have misread. Don't quote me on that.
No, I think, Canada, it's on the CBS thing, and then on the U.S. it's on the CBS thing, but
everywhere else,
it's on Netflix.
It dawned on me the reason that I don't like, I've been watching the episodes, but it dawned on me that the reason that I don't like Discovery is because it has a lot of the wrong kind of SJW undertones. Like, that is a lot of,
strong female captain. But here's the problem, all right? And I'll tell you.
What about Janeway? I mean,
you just admitted the problem. You've watched every single episode. And you're going to watch season two.
Just so you can go on the forum and complain about it. Just like I watched the Hobbit films.
Let me give you a chronology of everything that is wrong with every episode. How long you got?
I watched a 5-part YouTube series about the Hobbit films and why they were bad.
Imagine you're CBS and you get the numbers back and it's like, man, we are getting blasted on the reviews and forums and millions of people hate this. And you're like, well, wait, millions of people are watching it to hate it, right? Season two makes perfect sense.
I like to think that Star Trek fans are probably, like, they probably skew toward, you know, tolerance and open-mindedness. And at least those are things that were taught on old Star Trek.
Imaginary world.
Yeah, totally imaginary. I mean, that's fair. That's totally fair. Idealistic. I would also use the word idealistic. Overly, unrealistically idealistic. In the new Star Trek series, not only is it is not overly unrealistically idealistic, it is so formulaic in its non-idealisticness as to be contrite.
But at the same time, you're paying the special fee and you're logging into your CBS-specific DRM.
Am I?
At least some people are. To get your taste of idealism. I mean, think about it. It's like You know, it's like you're getting the sweet water, but there's this sheen of motor oil on top of it.
Mostly motor oil.
That you have to reach through to get it. And nobody sees that. Yeah.
It's okay.
CERN. Okay, so I like this article. CERN scientists conclude that the universe should not exist. I don't think that's what the CERN scientists are saying at all.
I think that is what they wrote in the paper.
I understand some things about this. That's not what they were saying.
So the boiler snake is back. We're going to power through this because it's the last story. What it comes down to is matter and antimatter seem to exist in equal portions. So like an algebra equation. Wow, he's angry. Why didn't they cancel each other out? So what is this? IGN? Oh, yeah, of course, this is IGN. Their take on that is, well, we shouldn't exist.
Yeah, yeah. So they were saying that probably in the Big Bang, there was some asymmetry in the Big Bang that caused, you know, asymmetry in terms of, like, the reaction. And it's like, no, it turns out that matter and antimatter are exactly equal and opposites. So the distribution is just random. And so the matter that we see in the universe apparently is the result of random distribution and not a failure to do mutual annihilation, which suggests that there may be pockets of the universe that have antimatter, or maybe it's just random distribution. We don't know.
Now, we did, in the past, we had another article that said that they believed, because of how difficult it would be to simulate certain kinds of weird physics properties, that we could not be in a simulation. And now we find out that traditional science also should not exist. So what's going on?
Silly journalists.
Who are we?
Physics PhDs are not for...
Everything feels like velvet.
Well, that's been episode one of season two. We're off to a terrible, great start. It's amazing.
A lot of things went wrong in this episode. It's actually kind of funny.
And it's going to be edited poorly, probably.
And you know how they say, you know, like how you start a thing is how it tends to progress. So it should be great this whole coming up year.
It's going to be amazing. Thanks to our patrons. You know you want to subscribe on Patreon because why not? What have you got better to do? And there's also a Patreon exclusive podcast, which is us not talking about technology.
Which we need to do.
Which is kind of funny.
Oh yeah, we got to do another one for next month.
We do.
And there's behind the scenes pictures and you get early access to videos.
It's a lot of fun.
And all those things.
You should do it, because it would be good for us. It would be good for all of us. Let's face it.
Or just follow us on Twitter, on the forums. That's fine, too.
Yep. Share. Go forth and share and sub and, you know, whatever. I don't know. We don't know what we're doing.
You do you.
Yeah.
You do you, but only if it follows us.
I'm Wendell.
I'm Krista.
I'm Ryan.
And we'll see you later.
Bye. Yeah.
Oh.
It's live. Anything can happen.
Where's the remote?
I put them over here. Hang on.
Wow. Was that thing running off battery, maybe?
Maybe.
Did it get unplugged?
It shouldn't be unplugged.
We can't edit this out.
It's all live. It's exciting.
Oh.
It's a spooky episode. There's a ghost. This is a really old building. It could be a ghost. You guys don't know.
It probably was running off battery.